Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Good morning.
Good morning.
It is our privilege as well as responsibility to come before the Lord to sing and tell of his glory and truth and majesty. And so let us be called together in worship as we read responsively from the 16th Psalm. I bless the Lord who gives me counsel. In the night also my heart instructs me. Therefore my heart is glad and my soul rejoices. My body also rests secure. You show me the path of life. In your presence there is fullness of joy. In your right hand are pleasures forevermore.
Neither would he have left us on our own in working towards its accomplishment. We come to confession to do the work of admitting we have work to do, and we cannot do it alone. Let's go to God in confession. Holy God, giver of light and grace, We have sinned against you and against our fellow men and women through ignorance, through weakness, through our own deliberate faults. We have belittled your love and betrayed your trust. We are sorry and ashamed, and we repent of all our sins. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, who died for us, forgive us all that is past, and lead us out from darkness to walk as children of light. Amen. Hear us, O God, as we take this moment to pause, to take a breath. And in this silence, may we lift up our prayers, our personal prayers of confession to you, O Lord. Hear our prayers. Amen. As God loves Jesus, so Jesus loves us. We are the beloved, and the name of this beloved, Christ, Jesus. I declare to you, we are forgiven. Thanks be to God. Fifth grade and younger are excused to their Sunday school classes, and the leaders will meet them in the back. And the rest of us, let's say good morning and God bless.
I love watching people being nice to each other. I love it how we get to reconnect with old friends and folks that are always in the pew there beside us Sunday after Sunday. And also occasionally we have a chance when someone comes and sits in a place where they don't normally sit. You know, be nice to them too, okay? Make a new friend. I want to remind us about just a few things happening in the life of the church so that we're all up to speed and all participating as we are able. First of all, we'll have a new member class immediately following this service. We'll gather in the patio. Many of you are registered for that class. If you're not registered but would like to come, go ahead and do that. We always do the loaves and fishes trick, and there's always enough food. And it would remind me as well to invite you, if you've not yet joined a church somewhere but would like to think about joining a church as a full-blown member, come and join with us here at the Village Church. If you'd want to talk about that, give Jan a call or let me know, and we'd love to visit with you. We are, of course, in the season of Lent, and Easter itself is not far away. As part of our Easter celebration on the Saturday before Palm Sunday, so 8 days before Easter itself, we will have our annual extravaganza, a wonderful gathering where we retell the story of Easter, have breakfast with each other, and celebrate the resurrection of Christ in many different ways. So mark that on your calendars for the 23rd of March at 9 o'clock. The next day, which is Palm Sunday, our youth are going to be sponsoring a breakfast here on the campus as a way of helping raise some funds to send them on their mission trip this summer. So don't eat breakfast before you come. Plan to come and eat here at the church. And then the day following that, on Monday the 25th, we have the privilege of welcoming the Augustana College Choir into a concert here at 7 o'clock. We're very blessed that all kinds of college choirs from across the country want to come and sing here for us, always when it's winter, wherever they are. But nevertheless, we're blessed to have them come and be with us, right? So come and enjoy that great music, 7 p.m. on Monday the 25th. On Thursday the 28th, Maundy Thursday, we begin those last few days of celebration of the Passion of Christ. We'll have our traditional service at 7 o'clock in the evening. In a sense, it is a combination of both Maundy Thursday with the giving of the Lord's Supper, and then also Good Friday as we read and remember the sacrifice that Jesus gave on the cross. So put that on your calendars as well. And then Easter is the last Sunday of this month, the 31st of March. We'll be here at 7, 9, and 11 to worship. Come to every single service. Some of you need to do some makeup. I'm just saying. No, that's okay. Love to have you. Saturday, the 6th of April, following Easter, we'll be sending a group down to Tijuana to help build a home for a family there. Let us know if you'd like to be part of that. And then today, we're going to welcome a group of our 4th and 5th graders who have been in a class for the last several weeks studying the faith of our church and particularly studying what communion is all about. So they're going to be joining us to receive communion. This is not their first communion, and I would remind you that we welcome people of all ages from the moment they're able to come forward with mom and dad to come and participate in the mystery and beauty of this sacrament. But we're recognizing those folks who've spent some special time then studying the sacrament itself. So these are things that are happening. We hope you participate in as many as will feed your soul. It's a time now to feed our souls in a different way. The Lord calls us to give back to Him some of what He has given to us, not just of our financial resources, but of ourselves, of our time and our talent. So now the ushers will come and wait on us as we present our tithes and offerings to God.
Oh, Please be seated. Friends, it's a great privilege that God has called us to this place to be together this morning. We have opened our eyes and been invited, and we've been able to respond by being here. We sung songs and we prayed. We will hear the preached word, and we also have the privilege of going to prayer. And in going to prayer, I would encourage you to take a deep breath and to be present in this moment as we go to God. Let's go to God in prayer. God of the vineyard, walking through the rows of our stories, pruning the dead memories and resentments, grudges and petty hatreds, we are so refreshed and renewed when your Spirit speaks to us, and like a gentle breeze that lifts the tender tendrils of a seedling, we stretch out our arms towards you for nourishment and warmth and the vitality of life. Thank you. How wonderful is your care for our garden of living. How gracious that you woo our spirits to bear fruit that is merciful, compassionate, and loving, so that we too might taste the warm juices of the ripened harvest. Lord, we are filled with the images of a caring gardener, a wise farmer, a knowledgeable vineyard keeper. Yet you are so much more than an image, more than a story or a theory, more than a doctrine or a theology. You are the creator, the spark that ignited all things to be, the God of all time and space, Alpha and Omega, before and beyond, and forever to be. O sacred vine who poured out the lifeblood for us, whose roots are deeply embedded in the center and the source of all life, your love shapes and binds us to you as twine binds the fragile flower to the holding stick. We are engrafted into your body and we become members one of another. And so, Lord, we seek your direction and your guidance, even as you seek our action and our willingness to follow. Help us, O Song of Life. There is so much to do and it feels overwhelming, but with your help, nothing is impossible. And so, God, we pray for peace and reconciliation between governments whose people are being destroyed spiritually, emotionally, and physically. In particular, we pray for the people of Ukraine, for the Palestinian people, and for grieving Israel, for the people in Afghanistan and Ethiopia, Iraq and Yemen, Syria and Somalia, Libya, the Central African Republic, the Democratic Republic of Congo, Myanmar, and Colombia and Mali, all of these countries, O Lord, embroiled in civil war right now. And we know, God, that war cuts deep and wide, but how well we also know the depth of pain and the cut to the bone of a civil war, war between brothers, between sisters, between families. It is a wound that is long in healing, and it threatens to cut out the heart. Oh Lord, so many people whose futures have been stolen, so many people who live dazed, in shock, traumatized. So help us, oh God, to be a beacon of hope, an outstretched hand with aid and care, a shared shoulder to lean on and cry with. Help us, oh God, to be your church, branches of your vine, carrying light and life and a message that will transform the world. Oh God, we pray these things because with you, all things are possible. And so we lift up our one voice to you with the prayer that your Son taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
A reading from the Gospel according to John. Jesus said, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine grower. He removes every branch in me that bears no fruit. Every branch that bears fruit, he prunes to make it bear more fruit. You have already been cleansed by the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me as I abide in you. Just as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who abide in me and I in them bear much fruit, because apart from me, you can do nothing. Whoever does not abide in me is thrown away like a branch and withers. Such branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask for whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit and become my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. I have said these things to you so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete." The word of the Lord.
Many of you know that I grew up in a small town in New Mexico, the town in which my father grew up, the town in which his father grew up, and after that, the record is very unclear. There's actually lots in my life that's very unclear, but that part is understandable. I grew up from the age of 2 years old in a home that my father and his construction crew actually built for us. And it was a home that was only about half a mile away from the small two-bedroom house where my father and his nine siblings also grew up. At that house, the old family homestead, if you will, at that house, there was a wonderful, wonderful grape arbor that had grown, and it also was also on the property of the neighbors next door. It was a huge thing, and it had the most delicious, sweet, white grapes that you could ever hope to eat. Now, remember that New Mexico is an awful lot like California, basically a dry desert climate, although it hasn't seemed so dry and deserty lately, has it? At any rate, I remember going back to my father's childhood home and picking grapes off of that grapevine to eat. When I was already grown and gone away from home, Dad decided to take some cuttings from that grapevine and plant them at our own home. And for years and years, he tended that vine, and we ate grapes from that vine. But then as Dad grew older and less able to take care of the grape arbor that we had, it eventually withered and began to die away. And so Helen took a cutting off of that vine and brought it here to Southern California to plant. I've been thinking a lot about that grape vine, the first one at Dad's home, and then the one at our home, and now the one at our home again. I've been thinking about that a lot as I've been reading this particular little passage from John. We need to remember that Jesus is in his last days, his last hours with the disciples. John gives us a very, very long description of the things that Jesus said and that Jesus did with the disciples in those last days and hours. And they take on particular weight for us, particular poignancy, because they were the last things that Jesus chose to talk about. In this passage, he gives us a very simple memorable, profound even image of the nature of our relationship with him. It's so simple, it's so easy to remember that oftentimes we forget to remember it. But we would do well to dwell with this picture for a while. This picture of a grapevine that grows and produces fruit. Now, here in Southern California, especially this part of North County where we live, it's hard to drive for very long without seeing some grapevines growing somewhere. How many of you have grapevines growing in your yard? Okay, I knew I could count on you for that. Right? Grapevines grow everywhere, especially in climates like ours. Climate in New Mexico is similar, and all of that's very similar, of course, to the Holy Land. We actually have a plan here in our biblical garden that so many of us have been enjoying to eventually plant a very small vineyard. And I know that many of your minds automatically went to, well, what kind of grapes are we going to plant? And then what kind of fermented grape juice are we going to make? Well, we don't need to go all that far with it, but let's go back just to that image of the grapevine. And the things that it says to us that we never should forget. The things that it says to us about our relationship with Christ. The first thing that we want to note is that Jesus is the vine. Jesus is the vine. In order to have grapes, you have to have a grapevine. I remember working with the grapevines that grew at our home, the tough, tough, woody substance that they are. The grapevines grow deep into the soil, and in New Mexico, there's very little soil. It's mostly rock. It's amazing how grapevines can grow in very rocky soil, but they're tough. What does the vine do? The vine delivers nutrients from the soil. The vine delivers water from the soil. You have to have a vine so that you can have branches and then twigs and then leaves and eventually grapes. Have any of you ever picked grapes that were simply hanging in midair from nowhere? It'd be quite a dream, wouldn't it? It doesn't happen, though. You don't just walk along and stumble into a bunch of grapes hanging in midair. The grapes have to be attached to a twig, and the twig has to be attached to a branch, and the branches have to have leaves so that can collect the sunlight and energy for the plant, and the leaves and the branches need to be connected to the vine, and the vine needs to be growing out of the ground. I went to school for over 20 years to learn profound things like that, Juan. But it is profound, is it not? If you're going to have fruit, you've got to have something for the fruit to grow on and to grow from. And then, of course, we're the branches. We're the branches, Jesus says. Branches have to grow on the vine. Branches are meant to produce fruit. If branches are not producing fruit, what happens to the branches? They get snipped off. So that other branches, better branches, fruitful branches can grow. It's a very, very simple image of faith. But an image that you and I would do well to remember often, to remember always. Because the point is that the branches cannot have a life without the vine. We say that we believe that God is the maker of heaven and earth, the creator of all things that is. And that's a wonderful way to understand God. An even more pithy and earthy and accessible way to understand how it is that our life comes from God is to understand that our life comes from the vine. In this case, God, the Son, Jesus Himself. That's the source of our life. If we forget that, if we deny that, we are not tied in to the very source of what life actually is and how we can have this life. Christians are people who believe that Jesus is the Lord, that Jesus is God. Jesus is the vine from which we derive our lives. Tim Keller, the late now Tim Keller, once wrote that if God is not the center of your life, something else is. Think about that. If God is not the center of your life, something else is. We can choose other things to be the center of life. We can choose other things and hope that they will give us life. We can choose our own intelligence, our own power, our own will. We can choose to cultivate our reputation among our friends. We can choose to build up our bank accounts. We can choose all sorts of things in which to put our trust and hope. And those things, of course, all too easily become God for us. And we need to be reminded, therefore, constantly to push everything else out of the center so that we can make room for God. Christians are people who intentionally spend some of our time, some of our energy, some of our focus in life on Jesus. It's easy to sit here and say, yes, Jesus is the vine from which my entire life grows. But if we only say that, if we do nothing about it, then we're not really connected to the vine. How is it that we connect with Jesus? There are all kinds of ways, but this is perhaps one of the best examples, what we're doing right here. In this sense, I'm preaching to the choir. And not just them, but you're the choir too when it comes to this point. We stay connected to Jesus as we worship, as we come together with other people who are doing the same things because they believe the same things. We come and get connected with each other. We get connected with Jesus. We stay connected through our prayer. We learn from Jesus in our study of Scripture, in our companionship with other Christians. We learn and we stay connected by serving others, by caring about others, by learning about others. All of those things are ways that we stay connected to the vine. I don't want to state it negatively, but we need to. We need to understand that people who are not in constant contact with Jesus, who are not in regular fellowship with the body of Jesus' people, that is the church, they're fooling themselves. A branch does not grow, and fruit is not produced by a branch that only occasionally decides to be part of the vine. You're either connected deeply and fruitfully or not. Sometimes a branch gets squeezed off or broken and destroyed, and it eventually dies. That's what happens to Christian people who get disconnected from Christ by being disconnected from the body of Christ. Now, it's true that Christians also believe, because Jesus said it, that we need to submit ourselves to the pruning activity of the Father so that we will be healthy branches on the vine of Jesus. The pruning activity. We don't like pruning. Pruning is always hard. It's tough to take a healthy growing plant and say, you know, that branch over there shouldn't be there. This branch over here is not growing very well, and just snip it off. Pruning can hurt. In the life of people who follow Jesus, there are all sorts of things that need constantly to be pruned away, to be shaped and formed then into a healthy plant. That's another reason that we gather with other Christians, is so that we can have our faith challenged, so that we can have our practice held up and examined to determine whether or not it is actually faithful following of Jesus or not. Pruning hurts, but pruning is healthy for us. And that's part of what we are called to do with each other and for each other, so we all can grow. Christians are people who believe that we need to abide in Jesus. We just heard a beautiful hymn about asking Jesus to abide with us. Yes. And will we abide with Jesus? It is so easy to forget about Jesus, to ignore Jesus, to trust that he's simply going to be there when we need him and ask him to come off the shelf only when we need him. Come abide with me, Jesus, now. I've been ignoring you for years, but now I need you. Well, Jesus will honor that, but isn't it better if when we need Jesus, he's already there? If when we need Jesus, we already know him well? And so Jesus says in his instructions to the disciples, you abide in me as I abide in you. I looked up the word abide, not because I didn't know what it meant, but because it means so many different things. I wanted to get them all into one place. When we abide with someone, we remain there. We continue there. We stay there. We dwell there. We keep on staying there, day in, day out, year in, year out, for the rest of our lives. A lot of us abide with Jesus once or twice a year. A lot of us fool ourselves into thinking that we know Jesus when we don't spend any time with him. We don't study him. We don't look at his word. We don't converse with other people about him. It grieves my heart that so many people give in to the lie that we can be faithful, practicing Christians without the body of Jesus surrounding us, without the fellowship of the church, without ever actually really paying attention to Jesus. And so that's why you and I come regularly to worship. That's why you and I come faithfully to this table. This place that symbolizes so profoundly, so clearly, and yet so mysteriously the truth of who our Savior is. A place where the fruit of the ground, the wheat, is turned into bread. A place where the fruit of the vine, the grapes, are turned into wine. A place where we remember Jesus once gathered with his first disciples and now gathers with us to help us remember that his body was broken, that his blood was shed, that in his sacrifice, in his resurrection, in his continuing life among us, he continues to feed us. The vine is still there. The vine is still strong. And we choose to stay connected to that vine. We choose to stay connected to Jesus so that we can find again and always forgiveness and direction and encouragement and friendship and lessons for living. And so I invite you to come to this table. You need not be a member of this congregation. You need only be a person who loves and follows the Lord Jesus Christ. You need only be a person who is thirsty and hungry for what the Savior has to offer you. You need only be a person who says, Jesus, I cannot be disconnected from you, for I will be disconnected from life. We will practice an ancient Christian tradition of intinction. You'll be invited to come forward and to take a piece of the bread and to dip it into the cup and then to return to your seat. We don't care how old you are or how young you are. We don't care how much you actually understand of this mysterious sacrament. We ask only what Jesus would ask, that all who seek to follow him and be his disciple would come and receive the gift that he offers us in this table today.
On the very night of his betrayal, Jesus took the loaf and blessed it and broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "This is my body broken for you. When you eat this, remember me."
In the same way, Jesus took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the sign of the new covenant sealed in my blood. Whenever we eat this bread and drink this cup, we proclaim the saving death of the Lord Jesus Christ until he comes again. And we remember that Jesus said, 'I am the vine, you are the branches. Cut off from me, you can do nothing. But those who abide in me and I in them bear much fruit.'" Come.
God, we are so grateful that you are the host at this table, that it is a family meal that we have been invited to with an abundance. The table is laid with care and with your love, and it is a mystery. And yet it is very familiar to us. The food and the drink, the partnership and the friendliness around the table, they all speak to us of connection and deep-rootedness with each other. We are grateful to you, O God, that you know us so well, that you see our need to be connected to you and to each other. And so we are grateful that at this table, a connection is made in a way that goes beyond our understanding, in a way that is mystery, the mystery of the sacrament. And we thank you for that. And we pray all of these things in the name of our Savior Jesus. Amen.
I want to give you some homework for this week. I want you to go find a grapevine somewhere. And I want you to sit with it for a while. You don't have to hug it. You don't have to sing to it. But sit with it for a while. Observe the strength of the vine. Look at the branches that are beginning to grow and the leaves that are beginning to bud. Think about the sweet fruit that will be at the end. Think about your relationship with the one you call your Lord and your Savior and your Master and your friend. If he is such to you, are you connected to him? Thank him for the nourishment and the life that he gives you. Pray that the fruit that will come from your life does not only bless you, but blesses others. In that relationship, you will find your best life. You will find your joy. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit bless and be with you this day and always. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.